Welcome to A Voice of a People. Your radio host, Linda Sims, speaking. This is WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download free app called TuneIn and search WWGH. Take advantage of the many talk show programs that we have to offer you. We have one more option for you if you would like to be a part of the show or voice your opinion. Telephone number here is 740-383-9944. Now, this show will be on telephone, so you might not be able to get through on the line. So if you would like to call in tomorrow between the hour of 4:15 and 5 p.m., you are more than welcome. Remember the telephone number, 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 27 years of experience working for you. Their location, LaRue, Ohio, telephone number 740-262-0939. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce market on the second Saturday of every month, which will be this Saturday, June the 13th. Time, 12 noon until 2 p.m. Take advantage of that and let others know that they may be able to take advantage of that too if they are in need. Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, last but not least, LLC, location 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. My guest today, Whitney Gurman, should be calling in at any moment. She is an educator, experienced intergroup dialogue facilitator, emergent strategist, pleasure activist, and she is also involved in food justice and racial justice. She is just an all-around busy person. But I met Whitney at an intergroup dialogue meeting that they had out at Ohio State University. So she will be calling in any minute. She is also a graduate of the University of Michigan. And we are glad to have her in our city. She also works at Ohio State University here in Marion, Ohio. So hopefully you can let others know. Stay tuned. Maybe she will be able to give you some information about farming. That's what really on her heart, making sure that people have food that really may be struggling during this time. And we all know that right now we're living in the age of coronavirus, and a lot is going on in our nation and in our world today. So we will probably touch bases on a couple of those things that are going on in our city, in our nation. Hopefully things will get back, I can't say normal or the way it used to be. Who knows how things are going to turn out after we've had such a rocky 2020. Now, there's been some good in 2020 also. Thank God, you know, you're still alive, you're still healthy, you're still well. You're still holding up the bloodstained banner. I mean, you're able to go to work, you have activity of your limbs. We give God all the honor and praise for those things, okay? Just hold on, and she should be calling in any minute. I want to give you a thought for today, which is success. Success means to reach such a constant level of positive thoughts that pure actions happen naturally. Pure actions are like good seeds, which, when planted, produce healthy, sweet fruit. So hold on to that thought, because we will be talking about fruit, vegetables, growing, maybe in your garden that you may be planting. And I don't know if it's too late to plant. A lot of people like to get their seeds in the ground by May, and here we are in June already. It's just been a time that we're living in today that some things have been set back because of the conditions that we're living in right now. So hopefully, here's Whitney. Okay. Hello, caller. You are on the air.
Hey, Linda. This is Whitney.
Hi, Whitney. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Can you hear me okay? I have some headphones in.
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I was just letting everyone know your title. You can let them know again.
Okay. Yeah, my name is Whitney Gurman. I'm with Ohio State University Extension in Marion County. And I'm also an activist and community organizer, and I live in Delaware. So I try to blend those two together and come up with some great projects and programs for Central Ohio.
Yes, you're very good at that, Whitney. We are so fortunate to have you in our community and working in our city and helping helping us do a lot of things that maybe other people would not be doing. And, you know, the Word of God says your gift will make room for you. So evidently this is your gift. Mm-hmm. And we are so happy to have you today. We know that we've been living in such a time that things have been put back, and I had shared with them that you were trying to do the master urban farming thing before the COVID struck us. So how's that coming along, and what are your future aspirations?
Yeah, that's such a good question. You know, I'm so glad. I love that quote. I was sitting here writing it down. Your work will make room for you.
Your gift, yes.
I love that. I think, like, you know, with the coronavirus, at first it seems like such a tragedy for all the work that we were planning and building up, and that Urban Master Farmer series obviously had to be canceled. Everything closed in our office, and it just felt like, oh no, what are we going to do? How are we going to keep doing this work, because everything was in person? And, you know, over time, it just, things became more clear to me that we needed to keep pushing the agenda for food justice. And I've been learning all new ways to expand the work, which has been awesome because it's reached so many more people. So what we did actually, this week is our last week, but we have all the recordings on Facebook and YouTube. And we did a series instead called Growing Food Justice. And we had speakers from all around Ohio. We had Marion, Youngstown, Cleveland, Mansfield. Oh, I know I'm missing one. But they spoke about what food justice means to them. Toledo. That was the other one, Toledo. Mm-hmm. What food justice means to them and how they're doing that in their own communities. So it was really interesting, like, case study to how in Marion can we listen to these stories and replicate this work.
Right. So it's not too late to put seeds in the ground?
No, not at all. Actually, this Thursday, June 11th, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., we're going to be at May's Community Temple on Bennett Street. And the garden there has been tilled, and it's ready for us. So I'm encouraging folks that if you want to volunteer or if you just want to come out and build community with us, mm-hmm. we're going to start planting. We're going to put some starter plants that have already been, you know, taken care of while we've been on hiatus. But then we have some seeds as well. We're encouraging folks, you know, consider your risk before you come. You know, if you're a population that might be more at risk, you know, we know that you're supporting for us. There's ways that you can, a lot of older members of the church have said that they will be praying for us, and we'll receive those prayers as your offering. But, you know, if you're young and healthy, put on your mask. We'll have hand sanitizer, and we'll have some Clorox wipes, and we'll just be planting Thursday evening at May's.
Okay. So why do you think that's so important right now? to be farming and having gardens.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's so important now. It's always important, but it's so important now because we're seeing these food systems that we've relied on kind of crumble before us. You know, we've had a meat shortage. We've seen grocery store lines, you know, out the door. We haven't been able to access the fresh food that we used to be able to in the past. And this is just one virus, so we don't know what's coming in the future. And so being able to know how to grow your own and have some sovereignty around your food choices really promotes this idea of land being a means for liberation. And I'm just really excited to see what skills we can cultivate together and how we can rely on ourselves, you know?
Right. Because we did see a lot of, food just thrown away because there was no way for them to meet the demand under the circumstances that, you know, some of the food trucks couldn't, get to the grocery stores and things like that. And we saw milk dumped out, just millions and millions of gallons. And it was kind of gut-wrenching just to watch that kind of stuff, you know, like. So, do you think that we'll ever get back to where we used to be, or this is going to be a new normal for us?
Man, I don't know. That's something I've been asking. You know, I have a young one at home. She's 6, and she started kindergarten this last year. And I wonder for her, like, is this interruption just, you know, as adults we look at it and we think this is so abnormal, but will this be a new norm for her?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I want to do everything to protect her, protect my family, and protect our community under any circumstance. And part of that is growing our own food and owning our own land.
Oh, okay. That's something else, too, being able to own your own land, having mm-hmm. more food stands. And I see that also, farmers market. We have had access to that over the years during the summertime, and different churches also giving out fresh produce. How will this be distributed from the gardens?
So our original plan was we wanted to grow it and give a portion back to the community, you know, just as a donation, and then a portion of it to empower youth to learn about entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that they would learn not just how to produce their own food and harvest their own food, but then how do you sell it? How do you take it to market? There's been some changes with the farmers market this season. Last season, it was managed by Jim Lavelle, and it's under new leadership now with Jason Schauber. And it's under a system of, I think they're ordering online and picking up. So as we navigate those changes, we might be able to find out ways that we can still support that workforce development idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, you know, that's what we want to see is there's programs in Marion that address food security, and that's just making sure people have access to healthy, affordable food. But this new idea is food sovereignty, which really means, like, how do we grow, produce, and sell our own? And on the west side, where we know there's lack of access to grocery stores and people are working for less than livable wages, how might urban farming be a means for their own livelihood mm-hmm. And for their own household income?
Yes, that would be a great asset to the west end of town. Like you said, there's no grocery stores out there where you can get fresh food, not within a radius of, I know, at least 2 miles. And I don't know why the city, different cities, leave a certain part of town just as if it's not even a part of the city. You know, it's just, well, they're mm-hmm. out there. We'll just forget about them, whether they have fresh food or not. They can just travel to get it. Well, then it costs those people more gas to have access to those things. You may have people on that side of town that may not even have transportation,
mm-hmm.
you know, to get what they need for their homes, and when things get bad, then they suffer the most. Now, I know you called it food justice and also racial justice.
Mm-hmm.
So these two things are hand in hand. That's what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because when we look at how our food system was built, it was built off the backs of Black, Indigenous people of color. You know, first colonizers came to our country and they drove Indigenous people off the land. They pushed Native Americans aside and started their own colonies, and then quickly found out they needed labor. And mm-hmm. so then they went to Africa and stole people to really lay the foundation for our economic system in the United States. And so that was, you know, Africans were always so good at farming and agriculture, and that's why Africans were stolen, and their wisdom was stolen. I think I talked in the last show about hydroponics was an Egyptian practice before it was anything here in the United States. And so, you know, what is the effect of that trauma from, you know, centuries ago that's still living today? You know, we're examining this already. We're asking this in the midst of the murder of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. We're asking ourselves what's our complicity in it. And in some ways, we still need to ask ourselves that with the food system is, how is it that we have access to food, and what are those practices that have left gaps in access to food, also left gaps in health outcomes, and wealth, and also environmental concerns. It's always, unfortunately, Black, Indigenous people of color that are more at risk for those negative attributes.
Yes, yes. Like you said, you know, wealth justice, racial justice, food justice, how can we implement all of these programs together that people can benefit, you know? And then you have also whites whose incomes may be low, that may live on those ends of towns also, mm-hmm. where, you know, they don't have access to food, healthy food. You know, we want healthy food. Sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, we have food banks that do help people, but sometimes those things have already reached the date that the stores can't even sell it anymore.
Yep, absolutely. I think it points out that we are all hurt by capitalism and white supremacy. And, you know, we see all these intersections, and I think this is where the debates come in, and hostile conversations, all lives versus Black lives matter, because we know everyone's lives matter. And white people that live in poverty have been treated unfairly by the system as well. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes, you know, and I work with white people to understand food justice, we can recognize that it's both and, that, you know, white people have suffered under this system, and Black people have suffered some more significant consequences because of the history of slavery. But there are solutions. You know, this isn't something like rhetorical or philosophical. You know, what we're doing locally is an example of really of reparations, mm-hmm. is identifying land. In Marion County, 95% of agricultural producers are white. And how do we make that more equitable? One way is identifying these vacant lands or this land that has properties that are blighted, mm-hmm. and transferring it to, in this case, a Black church. So Mays Temple is not actually the owner of the land. They could be. Jason Schauber is the landlord. Mm-hmm. But we could look at some models to actually transfer ownership of these properties to Black people. Mm-hmm. And land ownership is about creating wealth, like we said before.
That's a good idea.
Thank you. I hope someone is listening that has the power to do that. There's a city land bank, a county land bank. You know, we've seen that land trust exist to protect and preserve farmland for specific populations. We can do something like that. They've done it in Durham, North Carolina, and throughout the country. It's not too far out of reach, and especially right now, we're in this liminal space where seems like anything's possible. The things we thought just a few weeks ago we could never have, mm-hmm. we're seeing come to fruition. So I'm really inspired and hopeful and excited to see all the possibilities.
Yeah, I am too. I am too, because I was announcing the Master Urban Farmer on my show. And we were just going through the process of getting it started, and then COVID-19 hit us, and it was like, wow, everything just kind of stopped, and everybody, you know, had to stop. So we really don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future, and we just have to keep going on and trusting God for, like, the new idea you got in other people, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, thinking around power, you know, a lot of the workshops I do around race are for white people, because white people have a lot of power in this country. And so, you know, I'm willing to help and support white people in uprooting their own racism. And I think part of that is the centering on relationships and, you know, showing up for one another. You know, spending time, whether it's at Maze Garden or attending community meetings or festivals when we get to that point with coronavirus, just listening and learning and passing the mic to other people that maybe haven't historically been heard in Marion before, you know, placing them at the center of the public decision-making tables.
Yeah.
I hope that's something that we see through this project, through these protests, and just through the time that we're living in with the virus.
Yes, yes. It's truly a time of transition. And I think we're all trying to transition or you know, to be relevant in this time that we're living in. I think a lot of times when people begin to see us different, when they begin to see us as people, as a part of the human race, and not the other, not one of us, mm-hmm. I think that will begin to resonate with some people and maybe open up their eyes.
Yeah, I love that. And I love what you're talking about, because it reminds me of something I had read about this time being a portal. You know, this time is such a time of transition. And we can either pass through this time the same way we always have in maintaining the status quo, or we can pass through it and leave behind our prejudice and our bias and our hatred and really come together as a community. And my background is actually in social work. I'm not a farmer. I don't actually know all that much about agriculture. But it's my call as a social worker is to recognize that the status quo has been harmful to so many people and facilitate disruptions of that, and then come together and think about, what does truth-telling to one another look like? What does reconciliation look like with each other? And how do we do atonement? And really then we can live in community and have unity with one another.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And I don't want to think that it's so far out there for some people to be able to open their eyes and see us differently. And maybe some of us need to open our eyes and see them differently as people, because, you know, when you put things out there in the atmosphere, those things you reap, you know, these things mm-hmm. manifest in reality. And then we have this stigma that we have to fight all the time, or either we accept it or we won't say much about it. We just continue to move on and, like, tread the corn. And everyone wants to be relevant in this day. Everyone wants to be important to the other. You know, we don't. I think there's not enough of us in the United States to throw anyone away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're a prosperous nation, supposed to be the richest country in the world and the strongest nation on earth, but we can't get along with one another, not long enough to accomplish something like unity.
Yeah, I love that, and I love what you're talking about with this, like, manifesting, that what we put out there manifests in the world. So let's declare, like, we want to put out equality. We want to put out love. We want to put out truth. We want to put out justice. Yes. And we can do all this. We can have healing circles. We can have community dialogue. We can start sitting down and talking to one another. And I always think about, you know, what we can do at the small scale, we can do at the large scale.
Right.
And Adrienne Marie Brown writes about that, those fractals, that we start small. So it could, you know, this garden is more than just giving people access to food. It's this grounding of community, you know, a historically Black church in a predominantly white neighborhood. Who would have thought those two might come together? And I'll be honest, one of the neighbors, I stereotyped, just to be real, like, I thought this guy's going to be a Donald Trump supporter, he's not going to support this, he's going to antagonize us, but instead, like, he was the biggest, like, protector of the garden. He watched out for all the rabbits and rodents and deer, and he offered to do security with his shotgun, and I assured him we don't need that much protection. But he donated his tomato cages. Like, to me, that's healing, that's progress. You know, we're learning from one another and seeing each other, maybe for the first time.
Isn't that great? I mean, that's good news that we're somehow coming together as a people, you know, and that's what we are. We're all just people.
Yep.
You know, we're all trying to make it through these last and evil days, because I do believe that, you know, we're living in the last of the last days. And believe it or not, we do need each other. Mm-hmm. Like they were saying in the COVID, we're in this together. Well, we are. We're all suffering the same things. And, you know, we still have to wear our mask and certain places that we go, and we still have to wash our hands. Well, we should have been doing that anyway before this happened. But we still have to do that, you know, and stay our distance. So, yeah, we're all suffering. And then we think about, okay, they're out there protesting, but, you know, a lot of them are wearing their masks, believe it or not.
Yeah.
They're trying to be, you know, responsible in the marching that they're doing. And that is so mind-blowing to me. The millennials, they mostly populate the protest. And when you look at millennials, most of them are Black, white, as one person.
Mm-hmm.
So they're representing white people and Black people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and our families have been so interchanged. White families are turning Black. Black families are turning white. So what are we supposed to do about that? Work together, or are we supposed to continually fight against one another?
Yeah, I really love that. And when you were talking about the mask, it made me kind of think about, you know, we wear the mask. Our public health department has told us to wear a mask, and public health is all about recognizing that one action affects another person. So, you know, we wear a mask because, well, how we, you know, our health and safety affects someone else's health and safety. And really what that is saying, hey, we belong to one another. Hey, we're connected to one another. You know, if I breathe in a room, you're breathing the same air I'm breathing. And so when we think about it like that, like, and what does these new connections call for? You know, if we obviously know we belong to one another, we protect one another with our masks, so what does this connection call for? And I often think about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who said, in the midst of utter crisis, in the midst of, you know, everything we're going through, are we going to choose crisis or community? And I hope we're choosing community. I want to choose community.
Right. Right. It's all about the community. It's all about my street, your street. Yeah. Yeah. It's all about that.
I think that's what the young people are showing us. What you're talking about is this idea of belonging.
Yeah.
An alternative way to you know, bridging our economic, our racial, or even our ideological divides. You know, what are ways that we can achieve a deeper sense of connection and change the narratives of from deficiency to something of generosity and love?
True, true. Well, we can say this. They have not given up. That's for sure. I had no idea it would last as long as it is lasting, but they are devoted to what they think, what they believe. They are determined to make change in our nation, in our cities and states. And I mean, it's all a good thing to see these young people standing up for what's right, what they feel is right within themselves, because this is their world. You know, we're getting older, we're moving on, but this is their world today, you know, and they have to be the leaders real soon.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you know, like, what is it like for you? You've seen other movements in the past. I don't know that you've seen another help pandemic like this one, but like, what is it like as an older person to observe this time and the wisdom that you've had and more experiences that you've had? What are your thoughts about everything that's happening?
Well, right. When I was younger, I saw the Martin Luther King March, but I was like 14, 15 years old. Really, the activist was basically located in the South, and we just basically watched it on TV. You know, he was a young man. He was in his 30s, early 30s, you know, standing there for equality. And I watched my parents really stand behind him, and only way they knew how was to support him. You know, they didn't get into the march because they live up here in Ohio, but it meant a lot to them. And even his assassination, I remember my mother crying and saying, they killed that man. It really touched her. She just cried, you know. And of course, you don't really understand at that age what's really happening, what's going on. But now I can see. Now I have lived, I have seen, I have heard, and I have been a victim of racism, or get a good job, and then I have white women going behind my back and doing all they can to get me out the door, you know, whether I was qualified and was qualified for the job, you know, because I took up office, general office. I did shorthand and typing and things like that. So when you're working in an all-white facility, you may be the only black in there. I've experienced a lot of racism. And people that supported me too, because my first job, I got Mary Rainier. She was one of the heads of Floyd G. Brown and Associates Limited. It was an engineering firm, and I got my first job through her, and she supported me. And I sat in the window, which was right across the street from National City Bank on Center Street. Oh, okay. Here's this little black girl sitting in the window on her first job, you know. But then it didn't bother me. You know, and I didn't really worry about what people thought about it. But now I have to think about my granddaughter, my great-grandbaby, you know, my grandchildren. How would they be accepted in this day and age? How people are looking at them. Just like I said, my family is turning whiter and whiter every day, just like a lot of other black families, you know, because there's the intermingling and the acceptance of one another. Now, to see go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I just said that's so interesting. Keep going.
Yeah, and to see the march and them stand up, which I'm glad they are, because I don't have that much march in me, even at my age, but I support as long as it's peaceful. I support what they're standing for, and I know it's about a change. People want to be accepted. People want to be loved. People want to be respected. You know, my opinion, it should matter. And just like my show, A Voice of a People, I'm a voice for others who may not have a voice. You know, and we'll be celebrating 6 years on this station, June the 10th.
Wow. Man, that's incredible. And I love what you're talking about, you know, using your voice and that being your activism, because I think a lot of people are asking maybe what your parents asked when they watched the protest, like, what can we do? You know, you see this stuff on TV, and sometimes it feels like, what's my place? What's my role?
Right.
And I think what you did and what you're doing is such a good example, because we can do it. You can do this activism, anti-racist work wherever you are, whatever it is you like to do. You know, I was talking to a young girl early last week, and she was feeling really overwhelmed. She's 16. She's on social media. A lot of our friends are giving her a hard time for supporting the protest, and she doesn't know what to do. And so I asked her, like, what do you like to do? Mm-hmm. And she loves to dance. And so make that your work. You know, be mindful of the songs you select, and maybe they have lyrics that say the message that you want to convey. That can be your work. What you're doing on the radio, giving voice to people that might not be heard. Like, we're sitting here talking, and I have this idea that maybe no one would have heard other than you and I if you didn't give me this platform to express it. And then, you know, I've been reflecting, like, I had someone tell me once that I was going to take care of the world, and that really struck a chord with me, because I've always heard people change the world, but he said I was going to take care of it. And I always go back to that, because when I have an impulse, you know, I get feisty and I want to change people. I want white people to be better. And when I lean on that, I'm not successful. But when I lean on just taking care of people, giving people water and snacks and listening and helping people process, then I feel like I'm accomplishing the work that I'm called to do. And even in the beginning, how you talk, like, that your work will make way for you.
Yep, your gift really will inspiring. Make room for you. Your gift will make room for you. God has given you that gift, Whitney.
What do you think I could do for you? What can I do for Miss Linda Sims? Or what can I do for your community?
Well, I'm loving what you're doing already. I met you at an intergroup dialogue out at Ohio State University, and you are a force to be reckoned with. You stand up in our community, and you support African Americans. You do all you can to help bring us together with white people. The forum that was presented in Delaware, Ohio, I made my way there, and it was heavily populated with people, and it's just beautiful to have someone to stand along with you, just like the marches. You know, when you look out there, you see almost more white than you do black, and we've needed that for so long, for someone to stand up with us and fight with us and stand for us and what we're standing for. So that makes it a whole lot better and a whole lot easier for us as a people. And we respect you for that, and we love you for that, and we need you. Our community needs you. In this garden, I want you to let people know how they can get a hold of you if they want to participate in this before we get off the air.
Okay, yeah. So, again, it's Thursday, June 11th, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. I want folks to think about, if they're in a high-risk group, other ways that they can get involved, because I don't want anyone to come out if they're, you know, if they have any symptoms, if they've had a fever, been coughing. But if you feel healthy, we encourage you to wear a mask and bring your own garden tools. But it's going to be Thursday, June 11th, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Mays Community Temple. And you can actually, if you have any questions, you can call the pastor, Sean Jackson, at 740-751-9328. And my information, if you have questions about this or anything I've talked about, is 740-398-4588. Of course, you can follow us on Facebook, too.
Yeah, you just keep on doing what you're doing and coming on my show and sharing good things with my audience. That's you. I'm going to add that to the list.
Okay. I love it. You know, when I picked the date, I was like, well, what am I going to talk about? I don't know. And then I was like, you know what? It will fall into place. I know it will. And it did. And we had planned this planting day actually just last week, and everything came together. And I thank you so much for giving me space and time.
Well, you're welcome. You're so welcome. I enjoyed our time together, and I usually do. And how's your protege, Johnny, doing?
Oh, my God. I wanted to give him a shout-out because when you were talking about the dialogues and whatnot, you know, he is my teacher. He has taught me so much and has been so patient with me and all my white peers. You know, I often talk about the work we do is, you know, it's like we're sitting around a campfire, and then one of us starts, like, rubbing that plant on a stick, and we see a little flame, and then we're like, yeah, that's good. Let's keep throwing some embers on it, and let's throw some firewood, and suddenly we've got a whole bonfire, and we come up with something. So lately we've been just scratching our heads, like, okay, what can we do together? How can we support youth, and how can we help white people work on understanding race in America? And we've got some things coming soon, and I'll definitely share them with you once they're solidified. But he's good. He's doing good. He's doing great things at Marion City Schools.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. I saw him at one of the protests, the first one we had in Marion, Ohio. I saw him downtown by the city hall. Yeah, and spoke to him for about a minute, you know. And, yeah, I enjoy him, too, also. And trying to get him on the show, he changed the numbers on me, so I didn't have
to. Oh, we'll have to call him out and let him know. I'll make sure that he contacts you and I can give you his new number.
Yeah, just shoot it on Messenger or send me a text or something like that so we can stay connected. I mean, things are moving pretty fast here in our days, you know.
Yeah.
We never know what's going to happen from one moment to the next, so I just want to stay connected with everyone so that they can share the good news and what they're working on and what they're doing for our community and for our people as a whole. And Whitney, we do love you, and I, once again, I have to say thank you for being a part of A Voice of a People, and you are a voice for a lot of people also, and we need you.
Thank you.
We
I love
to.
You guys, too.
I know you do.
I'm here for whatever you need me to do. You just give the orders.
All right, all right. We love you for that. So thank you once again, Whitney. I will be in touch. And if anything comes up, you know how to get a hold of me also.
Okay, that sounds great.
Yes. And we can just put it on the air and let other people know about it. So next time, Whitney, you be blessed.
All right, you too.
All right. Thank you. Uh-huh. And bye-bye. Everyone, that was Whitney Gurman. She's a champion in our city, and she does a lot. You heard her say, whatever you need, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Oh, doesn't that sound like bells in our ears? I'm here for you to help you, whatever you need done. Wow, if more people had that mindset, and I think more and more people will be getting that mindset. At least we're going to pray for that. Hopefully you enjoyed A Voice of a People today and our time with Whitney Gurman and how hard she's working on creating this farmland for people to learn how to farm and to plant seeds in the ground and have crops to grow up, okay? So, you've been listening to Linda Sims, your radio host for Voice of a People, right here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. Okay? Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you tune in tomorrow from 4:15 to 5 p.m. Be blessed. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the place to talk. From presidential nominee, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Okay, well, let's, here we go. It's announcement time.
I want to write myself on an independent ticket and run for president of the United States.
What inspired this?
A lot of the situations where it's quite evident that it's time for a change. Everything must change. If there were no butterflies, I mean, if there were no caterpillars, there'd be no butterflies. Change, change, change. That's what it's time for, Scott. You know it. Terry Tackett knows it. Scott Anthony knows it. Brianna knows it. It's time for a change. Not just in the housing market. I'm talking about globally. Our United States government is spending more money on building prisons and earning money per capita of inmates, and then won't give a darn about cutting school spending. Our teachers and our educators are underpaid, if you ask me, underpaid. Our kids need to compete with other nations like China. The list goes on. I'm just sick and tired of walking up to little children and them being clueless without a PC.
WWGH Radio, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, the place to talk. Find us on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Look for us on Facebook.